Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Okay, so I'm going to say a prayer before I start the teaching. Father, I just ask you that only your words will be spoken and none of mine. And I pray that your words will bring forth fruit and mine will fall by the wayside and die. And I ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so what we've got here are two different subjects. I'll start with the first one, which is the cities of refuge. And we're going to learn some things about what it means to be actually a murderer, a ratzach, to commit murder, as it says in Exodus 20, verse 13, where it says, do not murder. We're going to get more definition about what that is here. We're actually going to get definitions of words naka, ratzach, and shagiga, strike, murder, accident. And we're also going to learn about one of the purposes of taking refuge. Now, here in this Torah portion is the first time that we learn about the cities of refuge, unless we consider that the city that Cain built was a city of refuge, but that's a subject all by itself, and I've addressed it in other teachings, so I won't do that here. But I will say that the cities of refuge have an eternal implication as well as an earthly implication, a time-bound implication. In verse 35:13, I want to point out that there are six cities, and that is prophetically pointing to 6,000 years given to Satan by which he can be used by Yahweh to determine which of the human vessels are suitable for the kingdom and which are not. One of the purposes that these cities does is to separate the true murderer from the one that really is not the murderer. So Jeremiah talks about such vessels that are not suitable for his kingdom in Yeshua's kingdom. In Jeremiah 18, 2, 3, 4, and verse 6, and chapter 19, verses 1 and 11, we learn about that Yahweh says he has the right to separate out vessels and to make vessels that are suitable for himself. And if he happens to make one that's not suitable for him, like the potter does, then, he has the right to destroy that one. That also is a topic for another time. In verse 14, three of those cities go on each side of the Jordan. Yahweh is doing that to show that he owns both sides of the Jordan River, because Israel, the promised land, is not the full portion of Abraham's inheritance. Jordan is not the full portion of Abraham's inheritance either. Yahweh owns it all. In verse 15, we read that the cities of refuge are available for use by everyone, the ger, the resident alien, as we would call them today, the one that's there in Israel learning to be Israelite, or the sojourner, the toshav, who it just happens to be someone that lives in the country, like they don't intend to become Israelites, but they are there for some purpose or another. We can understand that from our own countries, where people go and live in other countries and they don't intend to become citizens of that country. They're just there for a purpose. I mean, we in this room are kind of in that category here in Jordan. So that's what this judicial system is. It's equal for everyone on the earth having anything to do with Israel. Now, the Hebrew word for the cities of refuge, the cities, is miklat. It means to be taken in, or it means asylum, it's a refuge. And like I said, this is the first time that we read about the cities of refuge. This instruction was not given in the original Mount Sinai law. or in the renewed covenants from Exodus 34 after the golden calf, or Numbers 15 after the evil report from the 10 leaders who came back with a bad report. We're going to learn about the Shagiga, who is the accident. Shagiga means accident. And so it says in verse 15 that everyone that kills any person unawares in the King James, that word is Shagiga, it means by mistake, unwittingly. It was an error. It wasn't intended to happen. This is an accident. So it's not the same as somebody who naka or strikes somebody with intent, which is ratzak. And I'm going to explain that to you. Naka means to strike, to beat, or to punish, or in some way wound somebody. And the claw is striking with a tool or an instrument. And as I said, it can be accidental, shagiga, or it can be ratzak. The act of murder, once it's been determined that it actually was murder, is the same word for murder and for murderer. The person is also called ratzak. But that word comes into that person's life once it's been determined by the congregation that that is exactly what they were doing, that they have a murderous intent. And so the word ratzak means to murder, to put to death. And in Exodus 20:13, that word is rendered in the English kill. Well, there are all kinds of reasons why there is killing. There's judicial reasons for killing. You know, if you find somebody, if a court in Israel finds somebody guilty, they have to kill that person. What we're really talking about here is premeditated murder. That's why the congregation has to get involved. And later on, we're going to see that the congregation is supposed to rescue anybody who has killed another person. They run through the city, and the congregation in that city prevents the revenger, the family revenger, from murdering that person. By the way, if the revenger murders that person in vengeance, that is not considered the same as, you know, the actual murder. So the revenger has the right to kill the person that killed their family members. And, you know, we are in a family. And if somebody murders one of us, who is our revenger? Yahweh. There's no court against Yahweh. And this is why Yahweh takes up the right to do vengeance for the saints that have been killed in his name over the thousands of years. That's why they are crying out from under the altar, because he needs to go and take his vengeance, because these people have never gone to a city of refuge, you see. But who is our refuge? Well, it is Yeshua himself, the one who we actually shagigad. What do I mean by that? Well, everybody in this room understands that we in some way contributed to Yeshua's death, because every Israelite who sinned contributed to Yeshua's death. But that is an indirect. It is a shagiga, an accidental, unintentional thing. And we then are able to take refuge in him. He provides us the refuge because we repent, and then he gives us the refuge. So he is our God. He is our rock. And in him, we take refuge. Let me just get down here to my notes. I've gotten a little ahead of myself, which is fine, because this doesn't need to be real long. If the revenger of blood kills the murderer, the Ratzach, that's one thing, but the congregation delivers the murderer out of the hand of the family revenger. However, this, the rules of judiciary apply. There needs to be two witnesses who saw this thing happen. If that is proven that the person did murder the person and that he has been deemed a Ratzach, a premeditated murderer, then it is the responsibility of the blood avenger to execute the felon. And we find that in Numbers 35, 19 to 21, and Deuteronomy 19, 12. So it's, we have a system in the, in our countries, probably most countries of the world, where there's bail, where you can get out of
Baal.
But there is no ransom that can be paid for the accidental slayer or the deliberate slayer to get out of the city of refuge until the high priest dies. We see that in Numbers 35:28. So when the high priest dies, then he gets to return to his land and go back to his possession. There is no ransom for either one. For the Ratzach, he cannot be ransomed to stop his judicial execution. And for the Shagiga, the accidental killer, he cannot be ransomed in order to help him to be able to return to his inheritance. Okay, so in Numbers 36:1, what we have here is land inheritance. Inheritance of the royal land grant, the one that was given to Abraham in Genesis 15, rather. That is the number one, one of the primary priorities for Yahweh's doing whatever it is that he's doing, trying to bring that about. It's one of his highest priorities for us to inherit that land. That is a royal land grant. That means the king of Israel, Yeshua, who is also our God, grants to his people that land for them to possess as part of their inheritance. And we read in here that that land that they inherit cannot be changed. The boundaries of your inheritance cannot be changed through marrying from one tribe to another. In the case of if there's no son to inherit a land, and I imagine that after Zelophehad, who had five daughters, and you know that he wasn't the only Israelite that had only daughters. I imagine that that's true. And so the daughters of Zelophehad were, you know, obedient. They were compliant women who stood up for theirs and their father's inheritance. And then, of course, the brothers of Zelophehad, their uncles, come along. And, or is it her, their brothers? No, because they didn't have any brothers. So it's their uncles came along and said that Zelophehad's portion is going to end up in the hands of the other tribes, which is true. And so because of that, Moses made a law that said that these women can only marry, when that happens, they can only marry within that tribe. So the inheritance stays within that tribe. And guess what this says? This says that Zelophehad's daughters were compliant. They were strong women and they were obedient women. So I'm just going to leave this talk with this one final statement. May we always, may Israel always have strong women among us to stand up for Yahweh so that we may get our inheritance among all the Israelites. Amen. I'm done.
Amen.
Yeah. This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.